J.H. Kiffith. Yale had 528 wins and just 12 losses during those 11 years, for the greatest collegiate winning percentage of any sports team in history. But I arrived on campus full of optimism, convinced that I could help the program get back to greatness and excited about working under Yale's terrific longtime coach, Frank Keefe. Since my early childhood, I've always liked going against convention. I didn't rebel for the sake of rebelling, but I never minded being different, and my time at Yale just highlighted that fact. I didn't mind that most of the best swimmers were from California and Florida, and here I was, from the guts of Illinois. Or that most other swimmers, including my teammates, were tall and lanky and classically built, while I was just 5'8" and maybe 140 pounds, soaking wet. While swimmers were supposed to specialize in a single event, I was a generalist who swam sprints but also swam long distances. I wasn't going to worry about whether I fit in. I was going to trust my work ethic and my techniques and my desire and drive to succeed. At the time, there had yet to be an African-American swimmer in the Olympics, and there was still a great deal of mindless prejudice against African-Americans in the sport. One of the most memorable moments of my teenage years came when a baseball executive named Al Campanis went on national television and, without a trace of embarrassment or self-consciousness, said, "Why are black men or black people not good swimmers? Because they don't have the buoyancy." If that's the way most of America thought of black people, well, I was going to change all that. Early in my freshman year at Yale, I was placed in a pool lane with a senior, Andrew Geller, who was the best swimmer on the team. Frustrated that he wasn't swimming fast enough for my liking, I passed him, which was considered poor pool etiquette, especially for an incoming freshman. He was furious and let me know it. I shot back, "I don't care who you are. If you aren't going fast enough, I'm going in front of you." That pretty much summed up who I was at the time. By my sophomore year, I had placed 5th in the Eastern Seaboard Swim Championships and made the All-Conference team, becoming the first African-American swimmer ever to be named to the All-Ivy League team. That year, Yale finished 10-3. My junior season, the team was 9-1. And then, my life took a sharp turn. I went to the U.S. Open meet, my opportunity to qualify for the U.S. Olympic trials in the 100-meter freestyle event. Looking back, I might have been a long shot, but failure hadn't really crossed my mind. It rarely did back then. This was just something I needed to do before I could make the U.S. Olympic team. Except that my expectations outstripped my abilities. Well, you can guess what happened. I missed qualifying for the Olympic trials by less than a second. 0.8 of a second, to be exact, or about as much time as it takes to read the words 0.8. I knew that this had been my one chance for the Olympics, and it wasn't going to happen. There was no arguing, no do-overs, no one I could appeal to. The data, in this case, the electronic timer, had said that I had failed. I remember standing in the cool-down pool in Minneapolis and crying, my tears mixing with the chlorinated pool water. I was crying over a dream that had died. But I was also crying for something bigger. My attitude, competitive streak, and technique simply hadn't been enough to get me through. I returned to Yale for my senior year, but I didn't want to swim anymore. The quest was over, and I was heartbroken. So much so that one evening, a few of my roommates found me passed out near a bottle of pills, and I spent a few days in the psych ward of Yale New Haven Hospital. It was the first time I had really wanted something and didn't accomplish it. And that was a shock to the system. I wasn't released until I could convince the doctors I wasn't a danger to myself. As part of my recovery program, I got back in the pool and started swimming again. Late in my senior year, I helped Yale win a share of the Ivy League title for the first time in years. That was on a Saturday night. On Monday morning, I was gone. Graduation was only a few weeks away, and I was in good academic standing, but I felt like I had gotten all I could out of school. I was tired of